Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, this summer we have a series going called Open House Church, where we're looking at some different scriptures about what it means to be an open house. This came out of our spring open house picnic and bluegrass music, where we talked about having an open house, and that developed into this idea of it's more than something we put on every now and then, but it should be part of our identity to have doors wide open, arms wide open, to be an open house kind of church, welcoming all those that God would both call to us and send us out to meet. We looked at that the first part of the summer. We had a little bit of a break with a psalm. And now the next 5 weeks, I want to look at the middle of Ephesians 2 through the middle of Ephesians 3 that also picks up those themes. In Ephesians, it was a city in the Greek part of the world, and Paul was writing to them to encourage them, to encourage the church there and in the surrounding areas. And he wrote on themes of being welcomed from afar. The Gentiles were not Jewish, not the first people that God revealed himself to, but as we talk about often, God's purpose from the beginning was for the whole world. And Paul is reminding them of these ancient promises and saying God does welcome you and is welcoming you into his community of faith through Christ Jesus. So I wanted to pair that with the story of the prodigal son, and I'll delve into that in a minute. But what I want to do today during the sermon is start with the prodigal son, look at the verses in Ephesians, and then make some application for us. And depending on where you are and what's on your heart, you'll probably connect to one or the other of those two stories, the prodigal son or the Ephesians 2 passage. But they both have to do with the same thing, and that is the broad and deep and strong love of God for the world and to welcome people home to himself. So I want to start with the prodigal son in Luke 15. It is, I hope, a familiar story, not just because we may have heard it a number of times, but because it describes human nature so well. It speaks to me because I, again and again, find myself acting as two different people in the story, sometimes as the prodigal, wandering off from a good and perfect home with God the Father, nonetheless wandering off, going my own way. And sometimes I identify with the older brother, who we're not going to really look at today, who kind of smugly stays at home and judges all the people that have wandered off. It's a story that primarily is depicting a third character, and that is the father in the story, who is a reflection of God the Father, who welcomes both the wanderer home and loves the older brother who has stayed by his side and desires to celebrate and enjoy home and family together with them. And so I want to focus this morning just on the prodigal, the wanderer, because it connects a bit to where we're headed in Ephesians. If you remember the story, or if you don't, there was a man who was not near death, and his younger son came to him and basically asked for the thing that came to children when the father died. So basically, "Dad, I don't want to wait another 10, 20, 30 years for you to die and get my inheritance. I want it right now." I mean, it was a shocking thing to ask for. You know, it just said volumes about what the son thought of his father to ask for his inheritance. Basically, can we just rush this along? I want all the blessings of being your son without having to hang around here. The father gave the younger son his inheritance, and we're told he went off and quickly ran through it in a far place. And in that very vivid, memorable scene, he runs through the money, so he has to find work that he can, and all he can find is feeding pigs. I imagine you have kind of immediate, like, I wouldn't particularly want to do that, but for a Jewish young man, that was particularly unpleasant because pigs were considered an unclean animal, and to even touch them or be near them was also problematic. And that was how he was sustaining himself. And yet we read even that wasn't quite doing enough, and he found himself one day eyeing the food that he was feeding the pigs because he was so hungry and so destitute. And in that moment, he remembers, and that's going to be kind of the key word today, he remembers that even the hired servants in his father's house had it much better than this, because his father was a good man and took care of his household, and they had a place to sleep and food to eat and clothes to wear. And so he developed this plan. He would go back to his father and just plead for mercy and ask him to hire him on as a hired hand, because he knew that would be so much better. And I want to hit the pause button there. We'll come back to the end of that story. But that's the place of the wanderer, the prodigal, who has remembered that life has been, could be, better than this, and who starts that turn we've talked about before to say, is there a different direction I should go? And in this case particularly, he remembered what he had once experienced, and that was drawing him home. Well, in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11, that same theme of remembering comes up. And it happens twice, back to back. And I put it in red so you could see it. Paul is writing to these Gentile Christians, right? So they are Christian now, and he's asking them to remember their former life before they knew Christ. And so he says it twice, remember the way it used to be. Now, in this case, they weren't wanderers. They were believers. But it seems to me that Paul is encouraging them to remember how far God has brought them for the purpose, I think, of being grateful and accepting and living the identity of child of God, follower of Christ. So he kind of says the same thing twice. He says, remember, formerly you were Gentiles in the flesh. He talks about circumcision, which is the Jewish sign of God's covenant promise. He says, that wasn't you. You weren't marked with a covenant. In fact, you didn't even know the covenant. You were outside of it. And he goes on to say, remember, because of that, because you were outside of God's covenant, you were separate from Christ. You were not a part of Israel. You were strangers to those promises of God, and you did not have the hope of knowing God. Now, if you remember things we've said about the covenant, it was a promise. It was a kind of a ritualized one-way promise from God to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, this is thousands of years earlier, I will be your God, and you and your family will be my people. And I will bless you with children and with land, and I will bless you, and through you I'm going to bless all the peoples, all the nations of the world. And that was the covenant, the promise. And the whole story of the Old Testament, it's another word for the Old Covenant, is just telling the story of those generations and generations of Abraham's children living within God's promise. And sometimes they were like the older brother, good and faithful and listened to God's word and God's prophets and God's laws. Sometimes they were like the wandering prodigal and went far afield of what God had said is best. But the whole thing is the story of a God who looks a whole lot like the father and the prodigal son, who welcomes them after they've wandered, who celebrates when they're home, who longs for them when they are away. And you might think, when we get to verse 13, that this is surprising news when you get to the but now, but actually it's not a surprise. It's the news of God keeping that promise to Abraham to reach all the peoples of the world. That is specifically the non-Jews, the Gentiles. And Paul writes to them, that was the way it used to be before you met Christ, but now in Christ, you who used to be far off, far away from God, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, referring to his death on the cross, that atoning sacrificial death for the sake of the sin of the world. I'm reminded, too, of the scene after Jesus has ascended, when Pentecost comes and the Holy Spirit gives Peter and the apostles the ability to speak and be understood by the multiplicity of languages there. And Peter, in his sermon, says, this is in Acts 2:39, he tells this crowd of Gentiles and Jews who are hearing the news about Jesus and believing, he says, the promise of God is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to himself. That's what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians. That's what God was saying to Abraham. My promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off. That's the good news for the Gentiles. It's the same good news for us. That whether you have grown up near and close to the word and promises of God, or whether you came from far off, or whether you've grown up and wandered off, the good news is that God's heart and God's desire is for all of you to draw near to him. I want to offer a kind of an exercise, an application from this. What I see in this passage from Paul in Ephesians is he's writing to Christians, and he's saying, I want to encourage you to remember who you once were, remember who you are now, and remember who God is. And by doing that, it will strengthen your faith. It will encourage you in faith. In some cases, it may call you back to faith. He's delivering a letter, a sermon to them, and saying, here's an exercise for you to do to strengthen your spiritual muscles. I saw a friend's post online this week, and she has a young toddler, I think under two even, who does not like to be in the crib anymore, and fusses when it's bedtime, and has started, as many toddlers do, crawling out of the crib. And I'd seen this kind of ongoing drama about that over a series of days on these Instagram posts. And then finally there was one, I think it was a shot through the video baby monitor. They didn't have those when our kids were little, but you can actually, you know, see your child on video now. And the child had just crawled out and gone to sleep on the floor. And the mom was saying, fair enough, you can lie there and let the child sleep there. I commented on that. Looks like a sermon illustration to me, right? Because in that, I mean, it's not a complete picture of God, but it reminds me of that prodigal son story, right? Where the parent has the crib, which is designed, kind of like Chris's model there, to protect, keep the baby safe from rolling out or rolling over or hurting itself. And yet there is this tendency in human beings, and I would argue from the beginning, that we're prone to wander, to push the boundaries, to resist the rules. And part of parenting is setting those firmly as children push against them and learning what is good, what is safe, what is for my health and flourishing, and what is risky and dangerous to me. And the process of growing up is learning where those lines lie for us. So she had this crib for her child who just insisted in its toddler brain, I don't want to stay here, and who crawled out, slept on the floor. I thought, well, that looks like a prodigal toddler to me. And yet, not even close to being out of the sight or the care or the love of its mother. In fact, the mother could see it all night long. The doors were closed. The house was sealed. Still safe. And I thought about the prodigal son in the far country, sleeping with the pigs, eating the pigs' food, so far from home, realizing that even there, the son was not beyond his father's love or care or desire for well-being and security. And so all that was kind of rolling in around in my head when I chose to pair the prodigal son's story with this Ephesians 3. And it also reminds me just of the complexity of human life, right? We're not all one experience of, we grew up as deranged criminals and we met Jesus and we're completely changed and now life is good from here to the end. Really, for all of us, it's this roller coaster ride of drawing near and moving away. We're kind of like, and I don't mean this as any offense because I'm one of them, we're kind of like spiritual toddlers, right? We keep testing the boundaries with God. We question, are God's boundaries really the right ones? Do they really promise me safety, or are they just frustrating my happiness, and we'll press beyond them and see what life is like over here, and then we may decide, oh, it's not so good here, it's kind of miserable, we'll kind of move back towards God. And so I want to suggest that there's three different groups of people, and there's probably way more than this, but that these two passages in Ephesians and in the prodigal son story may hit you in different places in life. You may relate to the Gentiles in Ephesians, where you have felt, and maybe you do feel, like I do not yet understand or know what the whole God and Jesus thing is. I'm here, I like these people at Good Shepherd. I may have been here a long time, but it just hasn't clicked home with me. It hasn't resonated with whatever it is in there, my soul or my heart, or whatever it is Robert talks about all the time, that God loves me and wants to know me and have a all that language I hear about having a relationship with Jesus, it just doesn't make sense yet. And I feel like I'm still one of these outsiders to the promises of God. And I would say, hear the good news in Ephesians, that God does not view you as outside of his love. But the whole story in here is God saying, come to me, meet Jesus. He is the bodily expression of my love for you. Come, be home with me. Draw near, you who are far off. There's that invitation in the middle of all this. And at any time, if you want to know more about that, there's nothing I'd rather talk about than that. You may identify with the prodigal where I hit the pause button, right? You have at various times in your life, you've been right there at home with God. You felt the love and compassion and closeness of God and the fellowship of being in the family of God. But you find yourself right now wandered off, whether intentionally or unintentionally. You feel cut off and you see what life is about, and you're like, this is not what I wanted. Whether I intended to go find something better or I just kind of found myself here, this isn't what I want. And I wonder if, like that prodigal, you ever have those thoughts of, well, it used to be good with God. Would God even have me back? And maybe even like the younger son, you kind of prepare your spiel, your attitude. I'm going to go see these Good Shepherd folks again, and I have to make up some story for where I was. Jesus says no. I mean, it was shocking when I heard it in the translation. It said the father wasn't even listening to that. I mean, it doesn't mean he didn't hear him, but he's like, that doesn't matter, your speech. Listen to me, son. I love you. I'm so glad you're home. Go prepare the party. My son who was lost has been found. That's how God welcomes us home. And hear me say, that's how I see any of you as you reconnect, as you come back to God. There's no scolding or shame or you should have done this sooner or you know, where have you been? I'm just overflowing with joy to see you here, to see you cry out to God. That's at the deepest level. And then there may be some who think, well, you know, my life's not perfect, faith's not perfect, but I feel like I'm at least in the right place, on the right track. I'm more or less home with God. And I would say that's actually kind of who Paul was writing to, right? To the church in Ephesus. And this is more of a protective, what do they call it in medicine? It keeps sickness away, right? An exercise to something I clearly did not do the last 2 weeks. But spiritually, this exercise of remember where God has brought you, all the trials and struggles and prayers and celebrations God has lived through with you. Remember all of that because that fuels your thankfulness for God here and now. And remember God's story of pursuing the human race through all time in history and sending his son, not only for the world, but for you. And that act of remembering strengthens us spiritually when we find ourselves starting to or prone to wander. Remembering who we are, who God is proof against that and calls us home again and again. And then finally, as kind of a postscript and a little bit a detour, and I used this a few years ago and ran into it again as I was preparing for this week. The word remember, which we've been talking about, is to recall what's happened in the past. It has the same kind of root in it as the word membership, which is how we talk about belonging to a community of faith. And they really mean two different things, but they do trace their way back to something related. And so as a postscript, I would say this. You are not in it alone. Whether you find yourself I don't quite yet know God, or I've wandered off, or I'm more or less at home, but I want to make sure that I stay rooted. It's not a task to do in solitude. God's design from the beginning is to do this together in community, right? That's why the father didn't just take his son out for a one-on-one dinner in the story. He threw a party for the whole household because his son was home and they were all going to celebrate. And part of the way God has designed the church, right, and membership in it, participation in it, is that it encourages this exercise of remembering God and belonging and calling ourselves home. We hear the stories of others who have had similar journeys and similar struggles, and we are reminded of who God is, right, as we participate, as we dig into membership in this covenant community. So it's a little bit of a hokey play on words, but just like we're to remember who we are and who God is, I would add on as a postscript today to remember, recommit. Say, you know, this is the fellowship I'm a part of, and God has met me here before. And I want to dig in, right? God has promised to show up when two or three are gathered in his name, as we worship, as we hear his word, as we sing and pray together, as we rejoice at the cry of little ones together, right? This is family. Oh, don't go too far. When I'm better, she could come up here with me. But I was looking for a picture to depict this, and this is from the Bon Clarkin weekend, last weekend, and just... You know, this is just a portion of this whole body, but looking at this picture, and this is part of my privilege as the pastor, although many of you know each other well, I'm just looking through the people, and I know so many stories as I look through the faces on here, and what all they represent in terms of struggles and sickness and discouragement and joys and long waits and celebrations. I'm like, That's what it is to belong to the family of God. That's that encourages me and calls me home. That's why God has organized us as churches, as fellowships, as communities together. So as a postscript to the personal remember who God is and remember who you are, I would say also remember, recommit, rejoin this group of people God has called together, because there is all the more kind of encouragement and accountability and joy in doing this task together, this life together. You don't have to do it alone. So let's pray together and we'll move towards the table. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your extraordinary and loving pursuit of us through our own lives and through history itself. Thank you for Jesus and for loving the nations, the peoples of the world, and for loving each person here and for loving me. Thank you for the mercy and grace you show again and again as we are prone to wander and do wander, and yet you welcome us home each time with the kind of celebration we read about in the story of the lost son. Lord, would you, wherever we are this morning, far or near, would you help us to hear the good news declared in today's scripture? Would you help us to hear the good news of your love and patience and perseverance with us? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.